This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by the Axe House in Pigeon Forge, where we will be live tomorrow from noon until 6 p.m. Double dose of Fan Run, Talk Sports The Drive coming at you live from Pigeon Forge at the Axe House tomorrow. Jake?
Number 1, Tennessee offensive lineman Cooper Mays will return to the field this Saturday as the Vols take on the Florida Gators. Joe Milton is listed as the starter for this weekend, but no official announcement has been made other than that Heupel wants to stick with one quarterback through the entirety of the game. We have also learned that Hendon Hooker has been getting the majority of the first-team reps.
See, I know he wants to stick with one quarterback for the entire game, but I feel like unless they start Hooker and he's just balling out and things are running smoothly, I think we're going to see Milton. I think they're going to play two.
I do as well.
I mean, I could be wrong, but
like you said, unless he's balling out and we're in a tight game and he's moving, you know, we're hanging with him, I think we may see that go back to Milton looking for a spark.
Which, I mean, how cool would that be? Just see Hendon Hooker go out there and just
take ownership.
Everything clicks and we're just going up and down the field. Let's see a shootout this weekend, man. How about that? Let's have a fun 52-49 game. Yeah, let's go. Let's put some points on that scoreboard.
And that's why we brought him here.
And number 2, former Vol Al Wilson will be recognized on October 9th against South Carolina as he gets set to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Number 27 played a pivotal role in winning 2 SEC championships and the 1998 National Championship.
From Jackson, Tennessee.
Legend.
Big number 27. My all-time favorites. He's a hell of a player, man, and a hell of a leader, too. Maybe even a better leader than he was a player, and he was a damn good player.
Some of the Al Wilson stories just never get old.
Yeah. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I know there was some sort of locker room.
What about the practice one?
Well, that was good, too. But I think he called out Peyton at halftime of the 97 SEC championship game. When T-Fair was talking about earlier this week, like, offense was not playing well. I'll get Terry to see if he can confirm that. But I think he said, listen, 16. I'm supposed to be the Heisman candidate. Let's go. It's winning time.
He had a good point. And we did win.
Yes.
And number 3, in the words of Russell Smith, it's a final now.
It's a final now.
The Chicago White Sox have clinched the AL Central title in their second straight playoff appearance. It is the first time they have clinched the AL Central since 2008.
And how does that make you feel as a Cubs fan, Jake?
Oh, Ernie Banks is rolling over in his grave.
Now, you're not from Chicago. Do you have any ties to Chicago, or did you just grow up liking the Cubs because they're on WGN? Like,
well, a combination of that and Rookie of the Year was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
I feel you. So you probably don't have the just visceral Sox-Cubs rivalry, like, say, Christopher Gabriel, who's from Chicago, does.
Right.
And he's a South Sider. No, he's a North Sider, but
but he cheers for the South Siders.
Yeah, it's weird.
He wanted to win. What can I say?
I guess so, yeah.
And number 4, New York Giants offensive lineman Nick Gates remains in a Virginia hospital and has more procedures to come after fracturing his leg Thursday night against Washington.
Yeah, it looked bad last week, didn't it?
And Coach Joe Judge wouldn't completely rule out the possibility of it being a career-ending injury.
Oh.
but he seemed hopeful that that was not going to be the case.
Yeah, it was like
it was gross.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
I didn't see it.
You know, kind of how when you had your like a G.I. Joe or something, or something gets pulled out of joint looking, but there's no joint there. That's what the bottom of his leg looked like. Like it had an extra joint, and then his foot was pointing in the wrong direction.
All right. I think I get the point.
It can open compact. Hope he's, Joe Theismann.
Hope he's okay.
Alex Smith.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And number five, how would either of you like to have a major league home run taken away from you?
No, I would not like that.
Well, that was the case for Adam Duvall last night as he passed teammate Austin Riley while running the bases after a drive over the wall in left center. Duvall was ultimately credited with a two-run single on the bizarre play as Austin Riley, the Vandy boy, thought that the ball had been caught by the left fielder, so then retreated back to first base.
Oh, they passed?
Yeah. But the Braves did go on to win 9-2.
Hell with the Braves. There's stickler for the rules sometimes in Major League Baseball. I mean, like, if they didn't call that, would you be that upset? It's like, you gave up the home run, man. But no, you have to round
it. It's a rule. You can't pass the base runner in front of you, Russ. This isn't NAM.
I guess so. Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 5 at 5 brought to you by our friends at the Axe House. Looking forward to being up there for our six-hour marathon live broadcast tomorrow. John Reed and the boys start things off at noon with another stellar edition of Talk Sports from noon to 3. Then I'll be hosting the drive from 3 to 6 live at the Axe House in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall right there on the main drag. You can't miss it. They're going to have a big tailgate party all day Saturday featuring 50-cent wings, $2 domestic drafts, and $10.99 12-inch two-topping pizzas all day long. So come kick off the weekend with Fan Run Radio tomorrow, from noon to 6 at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Well, we are very excited coming up here in about 10 minutes. Tony Vitello is going to join the show.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while. We will talk to him about Tennessee baseball, fall ball, of course, getting set to start next month. And Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm being told that we must let Jake know that Austin Riley did not go to Vanderbilt.
I thought he did. Or was he committed at one point?
According to Jared, he says, did not go to Vandy. He signed with Mississippi State, but didn't go.
Thought he went to Vanderbilt for whatever
reason. Did we? You're thinking of the shortstop, Swanson.
Dansby
Swanson's a Vandy boy.
Yeah.
Which, hey, man. No, nobody's perfect, right?
All baseball players look alike to me.
Oh, people are killing you right now, Jake. Come on, what are you doing? Yeah, I mean, that's borderline slander right there.
Borderline.
You ever heard of defamation? You trying to get us all sued here?
I'm not trying to get anybody sued.
You're calling a guy Vandy boy.
If we get sued, send the bill to me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You made all that money on cryptocurrency.
Yeah, now I'm going to lose it
all. Ethereum, right? You set that aside as your, like, personal legal insurance fund?
Don't normally apologize, but I'll apologize for that one. I don't like to apologize.
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
It takes
kind
a big
of a
man.
Show rule. We don't. I don't.
That one's warranted, though.
It takes a big man. Thank you, Jake Miller. All right, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here, 546-8200. Somebody else asks the question, what would you rather have? I like these. A win Saturday over Florida or a national championship in baseball this year?
Ooh.
Ooh. I think you got to go with the Natty, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You got a chance to hang a banner.
World Series? We've never had one of those.
Couple of rings.
Can you imagine? I mean, imagine how much fun if we win the World Series, how much fun is next summer going to be? And then we're just gonna like strut like Vince McMahon in a football season.
Well, I live my hopes, not my fears. I'm not
see why
worried
we can't have
about
both.
This team falling apart quite yet. Although I guess we'll find out what the mood is like on voluntary reaction Saturday. But, man, we do need basketball and baseball to carry us right now because it is just not – there's just not a lot of enthusiasm. Look, I get it. I don't expect Tennessee to win Saturday. But Josh Heupel has his work cut out for him. And we've got an athletics director now who's wanting to remake the way they do their ticket sales over there. And it seems like interesting timing, man, because if the season were to get away from Josh Heupel and he's go 5-7 or something like that, then that's, man, it's, I'll be really interested to see how those ticket sales go next spring and summer.
But they're going to go a lot better if we beat the Gators this weekend.
They will. I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, if,
wonder how much that'd be worth.
What?
Like how many
financially?
Yeah, how many extra season tickets?
Well, you probably have a much better crowd for South Carolina. Have they announced a kickoff time for that yet?
No.
Man, that one needs to be at like 7 o'clock.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all want night games at Neyland Stadium. But if tennis, if we lose the next two and we're
– we'll be at 12
the rest of the year. 2-4 Yeah, I mean, why would you put terrible Tennessee versus terrible South Carolina on in primetime? I mean, yeah, you'll probably be lucky to be noon. I mean, that game's got SEC alternate channel written all over it, right?
At like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, the 8 o'clock start time against something like, I don't know what else is that weekend, but LSU, Alabama or something.
Y'all better keep that ESPN Plus subscription.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't figure out how to cancel anything.
I'll cancel it for you.
I just – no, I'm going to the bank tomorrow morning. I'm going to –
yeah, why would you
cancel
do,
my credit card?
Well, there's so many – wait, you would rather just cancel the credit card that you pay for the subscription on than figure out how to cancel the subscription?
Yes, because right now I added it up. I've got subscriptions. I've got that massive list of $5 here, $5
too
there.
Too much?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to – ESPN Plus, I mean, like, chances are Tennessee's going to play on it again this year. And those basketball games, all those early season basketball games, when Tennessee plays like ETSU or whatever, it's going to be on ESPN Plus.
I've got now. I do have one. If you want a background check on somebody, let me know tonight.
Who could I possibly need a background check on?
I don't know, Jake.
It's just true. What do we really know about Jake Miller?
You're going to find a few traffic violations and.
Okay.
That's
okay. Known associates, okay. Filet O'Fish.
Folks, coming up, we visit with the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, Tony Vitello. Coming up next, keep it tuned right here. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Jake, back with you on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in East Tennessee. And, you know, we got a big football game coming up, but let's talk a little baseball. Tony Vitello, head baseball coach of your Tennessee Volunteers, joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm actually down in Florida. I'm trying to intimidate the people around here. I'm not in Gainesville, thank goodness, but down here scouting some ball, and hopefully our guys can come into here and give them hell on Saturday.
Well, Coach, you'll be glad to know we just went around the room. We were asking these what would you rather questions, and we asked the audience, what would you rather have, a win Saturday over the Gators or a national championship in baseball this year? And this is football. Hey, this is a football school. I mean, it is what it is, but yeah. At least in this room, Coach, we're all going with the natty.
Well, I appreciate that. Then we'll just go ahead and knock that out this year. Then.
You got that covered for us? Okay, good. Hey, maybe we can get both. I mean, that would be my strong preference. But
you're at a place like Tennessee, never sell yourself short. So step one would be it'd just be good to see those guys play well again. I know the Pittsburgh deal was frustrating, but, you know, the energy in that stadium was incredible. And he, you know, Coach Heupel had him ready to play. He just obviously could have executed a little better down the stretch.
So you've been here, what, 4 years now? What is the best Neyland Stadium atmosphere you've been a part of? Do you remember a specific game?
Well, here's the story I tell recruits is, you know, we were a minus whatever against Florida when they came to our place a couple years ago. It might have even been first or second year. I should know. But so we had about 90,000 in there, and a lot of people thought we had no chance to win. But the environment was still insane. And then the next night, we took my father, who's from Chicago, to the Bears-Vikings Sunday night game. Khalil Mack, the Bears are playing well. You know, people in Chicago downtown been probably partying all day, and then they go to the game at night, and the noise difference wasn't even close. I mean, it was almost kind of depressing being at Soldier Field compared to our stadium. And so that's kind of how I describe it. I don't know that that was the number one environment, but it certainly sticks out because of that comparison that I had within a, you know, 30-hour period.
Nothing like college football, man. And the atmosphere you guys have got going, I know we talk a lot about the stadium and all that stuff, but Lindsey Nelson was rocking this year. I know it's going to be again this year. How's the offseason been treating you so far?
It's been so hectic. You know, there's so many different things happening, name, image, likeness. The draft is unique. And then, too, we're still getting to know the new administration, and we're working so hard on figuring out what's the best setup at the stadium this year. What can we do now? What can we do down the road? So it's been overly active, but it's been all good things. It's been all things that you kind of envisioned or dreamt about when you got here.
For fans who just jumped on the bandwagon, I know there are a couple out there. Like, take us through. I know fall ball starts next month. What is that like? What do you guys do? And what kind of opportunities will there be for fans to see the team?
Sure. So a dumbed-down version of what we do is the semester is basically three parts. First part is almost like orientation, like, hey, let's get the arms ready, get in the weight room, get after it, get to know Tennessee baseball as a no longer a recruit, now a first-year player. And the old guys kind of take the lead in some areas too. And then the second section is basically scrimmaging. And we probably more than any other program, we like to just play. I mean, yeah, it's good to coach your guys and do some drill work, but we just scrimmage a ton. And I'll come back to those scrimmages because they're available for fans. And then the third period is now that our guys have gotten 100 at-bats or pitched 30 innings, we've got a good sample size to work with them individually in the winter and really get after it in the weight room and, you know, maybe say, hey, it might be better if you lower your hands. Let's try that and just kind of get individualistic with our guys. So that's kind of how it goes down. But the scrimmages will start next Thursday, and we'll start posting when we get into routine when we're playing, and the stadium will be open to fans. But those are all inner squads. The scrimmages where we play against other teams, the NCAA gives you two. We were trying to go to the very southwest corner of the state, Memphis area, and the very northeast area. Well, West Virginia canceled on us, so we're now going to Chattanooga first. Okay. On the 23rd. We're going to play where the Lookouts do. Against Georgia State. So that'll be a great opportunity for fans maybe in North Georgia or in chat that usually got to drive or don't have the resources to come watch us. And we'll play down there about 18 innings. And then the following weekend, on the 30th of October, we'll play in Millington, Tennessee at the old USA Complex because they got turf that'll guarantee us some innings. And we'll play against Louisiana Tech, a very good baseball program there. So at least we'll be able to kind of go out and go to the people instead of the people coming to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you played Georgia State. I guess there were no hard feelings for it. Didn't you guys get a transfer from them?
Now, that was Georgia Southern, who
Georgia
we played
Southern.
Last
ah,
year.
Okay.
Yeah, and so ironically, we opened the regular season with Georgia Southern. We went there last year. They come to us. So, you know, I don't think Chase left on bad terms. He has such a good arm. What's going to start to happen to these mid-majors? Because it stinks. They out-hustled everybody on Chase. Mm. But he saw something in our team when we played against them, and then he really liked Coach Anderson. So he had a lot of suitors, but we were able to land him, and he's got a chance to be a weekend starter for us. So he might be pitching against his old team that first weekend.
I know that has become a huge concern in the world of football and a massive one in basketball. We talked to somebody who said these D1 college basketball coaches are barely even recruiting high school players at this point. They're just looking at the transfer portal. How is that? Like, what do you do? Are you looking at the portal as much as you're looking at high school players or maybe even more?
You know, not really. Hey, I'll tell you this. You could put me on a lie detector. I've never been on there one time. And if it's a big enough name that it comes to us, then maybe it's worth checking out. Or if we have a desperate need, like this summer, we scrambled around and we tried to find the answer at some catching depth or experience, because we don't return any innings behind the plate, but it just didn't work out. So if we have a very distinct need, or there's a guy that's a potential first rounder, which Chase Dallinger really is, then we'll pursue it. Another one is Seth Halverson, who was Missouri's Friday guy. I know they felt like we poached him, but literally when they did not qualify for their season-ending tournament, the SEC tournament, he called Drew Gilbert, who he knew from high school, and said, I want to come there. And it was kind of easy peasy. He just waited around for us to sign on the dotted line before he fully committed.
So you don't look at the portal at all. If a guy contacts you, if they come to you, then you engage with them.
Correct. And you know, to put it in perspective fairly too, our assistants have been on there and, you know, just kind of scoping things out, or see if, you know, again, we have one of those dire needs. But, you know, there's a little bit of a mercenary thing going on there. And,
yeah.
You know, trust me, I'm no saint as it relates to recruiting, but I kind of like the idea of having a homegrown guy that you have a strong relationship with. But, you know, these two kids we added on the mound, they played against us, and however we played stuck out to them, and they kind of said, I want to be a part of that. And then at the same time, what better look at a guy scouting-wise than to actually face him? And both those kids have very, very high potential or high ceilings, so we're blessed to have them around.
Talking with Tony Vitello this afternoon on the show. Coach, you mentioned the hole on your roster and catcher. You lose both Pavlone and Jackson Greer last year. The transfer from West Virginia, you said it didn't work out. Last time we had you on, you mentioned Evan Russell as a possibility behind the plate. Seems like that would be a great way to, you know, stay strong at that position and even get Booker on the field and left.
Yeah, I'll make some people mad by saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Evan Russell could go down as one of the all-time great balls if he could put together a strong catching season for us and we had a winning season. And obviously, Todd has put up better numbers and Chris Burke. But look at what's gone on in ball baseball the last few years, and he's been at the epicenter of it. And then to help us in an area like that, it just, you know, again, he's not Todd Helton, but the value of his career at our place could live on forever if he can make that adjustment. And he looks pretty comfortable back there. And, you know, there's a slew of guys that could do it for us. Instead of having the one guy, when we first got the job, it was kind of like Benito Santiago or nothing. And it's the opposite this year. It could be six or seven random guys, and there's guys that play different positions. And I openly say to the team in the dugout, it's open season, and, you know, any one of those guys shows what they can do, then we'll use them, and we'll probably use two or three guys back there.
Any other impact newcomers that you've already got on campus that, you know, fans who were really into the team last year might not know about but should be ready to see next year?
Well, the three portal guys we had are the two power arms. I mean, regardless of how much they win, they're going to throw hard. And fans like that more than I do, but that's something for fans to pay attention to. Again, the McCormick kid, that was just kind of I don't even want to say mental health thing, just mental well-being. He wasn't into baseball anymore, and we kind of added him as a hitter instead of a catcher. So since we brought him up, there's some clarity. And I think he's better off and we're better off with him stepping away. But two other guys that are arms are Chase Burns, who's notorious for having touched 100 miles an hour. But I think it's unfair for fans to come to the park thinking they're going to see him throw 100 on September 30th. And then Ben Joyce from Farragut is another kid who has huge potential arm strength-wise to, you know, throw 98, 99 miles an hour, even 100. And I think those four guys you know, I've mentioned are going to be in the mix for important innings for us this year. And to be honest, we're going to need at least three of them to have good years for us for this to be a successful team.
Very exciting stuff for Tony Vitello. The Baseball Vols, be on the lookout. You mentioned a couple of opportunities to see the team both out of town and in town when you guys start practicing. I'm assuming you guys will publicize that on social media and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we will. We'll be active with the Twitter thing. I mean, the 30th is the first date, but to be honest with you, the first couple scrimmages aren't that great to come out to unless you want to see practice every bit as much as a scrimmage, because they'll be short to start with. We'll build these pitchers up, and then we'll play about 18 innings, those two away games, you know, when we're going out to see Vol fans. Great chance to meet our players, get autographs. And I left one out because I was rambling so long I had to cut myself off. We're going to play a Fall World Series game, or the Orange and White Series, at Smokies Park as well.
Very
just
cool.
To add, yeah, we have a good relationship with those guys. We have a game scheduled there in the spring. And I think it'll be neat for everyone just to mix it up a little bit and play one of those games the first week in November there. So the scrimmages will be thrown up on social media, but the competition against other two teams in our Orange and White Series will be very, very well publicized.
All right, very good. Well, Coach, you got some time to listen to some tunes with us this afternoon?
It's literally all I've been looking forward to today, especially with all these rain delays, so I'm fired up.
Okay, I keep wondering, like, I keep telling Bear, eventually this is going to jump the shark. We got to find something new, so as long as you're cool with it, we'll keep doing it.
I'm down for sure.
All right, and Bear has prepared a special.
It's a one-hit wonder edition.
One-hit wonders, jam or not a jam.
So love it.
We'll see how many of these you can correctly identify. Go
all
ahead.
Right, here we go.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
That's a pretty easy one. Do you remember the group, Coach?
Oh, something crazy. Yellow something, or I don't exactly remember it, even though I should.
No, you really shouldn't. It's the Baja Men.
The Baja Men, yeah. It's something goofy, but you know what? I would normally say no jam for me, but the fact that reminds me of the scene in The Hangover with Zach Galifianakis brings a pretty big smile to my face. So I'll jam that for the sake of that moment.
That's where I was going to go. Normally I loathe that song until they put it in The Hangover.
It was a great mix-in. It was good.
Yeah. It's so repetitive, but you can't deny its place in history. Who let the dogs out? A unanimous jam. To start off, jam or not a jam.
All right, number two.
We said, tell me all your thoughts on God.
Yeah.
Maybe crashing cars?
Counting blue cars.
You're close.
Counting blue cars, something like that. Yeah.
Dishwalla.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think, you know, pre-high school, I think I was rocking that out a little bit, but I think that's where that song belongs is back then, so no longer a jam for me.
I'm with you. Not a jam.
Oh, you're both wrong.
Nah,
I'll turn that up to 11 every time it comes on the radio.
That is dull, soft music for dull, soft people, Coach. I'm with you. not that, no offense, Bear.
All right.
Yeah.
Not a jam. All right, here we go.
Rico. Suave.
Well, that's an easy one to say who's singing it.
Rico. Oh, yeah.
Since he pumps himself up right there.
Who's that?
Rico Suave. That,
yeah.
Was that the name of the song? That was the name of the song and the singer,
no,
right?
No, the singer is named Geraldo.
Oh, my goodness. Not the talk show host.
No. I don't think so. That would be some coincidence.
No. He was in some movies, apparently, though, or some shows.
Rico Suave.
Not only am I going to no-jam that, I'm going to wish that not even the LSU coach that's across the field watches that video ever. That's imprinted in my head as one that's pretty rough. But no-jam for me, long story short.
Oh, that's... That was a big one-hit wonder. I got to jam that, man. It's Rico Suave.
I hated it when the video came out. I wanted, you know, somebody to smash him over the head so he'd never sing again. That's a horrible song.
Maybe somebody did. That's why he was a one-hit wonder.
Probably so.
Wait, right. Coach, I got to interrupt here. The LSU coach is on the scene?
Yeah, he's over on the other side of the field. You know, I'm not very well put together, but I think I can take that guy if all hell were to break loose right now. But then, so at least you know we're at the right field right now. There's a lot of good players on this one, and we got one of them locked up, so we need to get another one.
Who is that? They replaced our guy Maneri. down there.
Yeah, they did. But we're focused on Tennessee. We're not worried about who their other guys are.
They tried to get you, didn't they? And you told them no thanks. That guy's looking at you knowing they wanted you more than they wanted him. That's got to feel good.
I'll tell you what. There's a couple new faces in our league, but overall, this time of year, we kind of come together as a group, and we got to discuss a lot of topics. So you kind of build rapport with these guys, and at the end of the day, we all want the same thing, the SEC to be the best league and for us to be able to take care of our guys better than anyone. And I think, I don't know how much you follow the news, but there's stuff to come out every day that's separating our league from everybody else, which is pretty awesome.
Now, we fast forward to end of April, early May. Are you going to have the same sentiment towards your coaching brethren?
Probably going to get a little bit of Italian temper going.
All right, back to Jam or Not a Jam.
Number four.
And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. Unless I recall.
I say, I'm not familiar with this one.
Serious?
No. I should remember the artist. I need to be at a different location where I'm more locked in. But that's a jam for me all day, every day. A little too catchy. You're not the most masculine song, but it's way catchy.
Is that from a movie or something, Barry?
I mean, Breakfast at Tiffany's was a movie.
Yeah, okay. That's
old movie. But I saw the name of it last night when I was looking through these. But they've kind of got an obscure name. But, hell yeah, that's a jam, Russ.
I'll take your guys' word for it. Not my jam, but you guys got me 2-1, so y'all went out.
All right, last one.
That's a lyric. He wrote that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the – I think in Ted – the movie Ted is when they kind of emphasize that era we were in where everyone tried to sound like Eddie Vedder.
They so did, man. There were so many Eddie Vedder wannabes.
And it worked. There was many that roped me in, including that song. I can see myself geeking out to that song right now in my mom's Dodge Chrysler minivan going to somebody's house whose parents were out of town for the weekend. So good memories. I'm going to jam that one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry for the extra special description there, but you get lonely when you're on the road recruiting, so it's good to talk to somebody.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, I think we can all of us, I know in this room, can relate to probably driving around in their mom's minivan.
Oh, yeah. We had one. We had the Voyager, I believe, the Plymouth Voyager.
With the wood panels or no?
No, I don't think we had the wood panels, but it did have the bucket seats in the middle. I remember really being pumped about that.
You guys were lucky. Yeah. I had a 77 Oldsmobile Custom Cruiser station wagon that I was rolling around in.
Oh, we had the station wagon at first where you sit in the very back looking out backwards.
Yeah,
that's
what we had.
I was a part of that.
A Catholic cruiser.
Yeah, my little butt was back there every time because I was low man on the totem pole. I remember that deal.
Oh, man. All right, I'm actually going to not jam that one because Better Than Ezra from Baton Rouge, and I'm just hating on LSU today, so that's where I'm going with that
one. I forgot
they
were from Baton Rouge.
They were, man, but one-hit wonder. All right, Coach, before we let you go, Trey Wallace, shout out to Trey. He's listening from Outkick today. He wants us to ask you about the new academic incentives for athletes. Evidently, that's what you were hinting at earlier.
Yeah. Hello, Trey. And also, Trey could have just asked me directly, but I think it's a good topic.
We'll be the middleman.
You know, on the radio. So I don't know how much I'm supposed to say, but, you know, this administration has a different flavor than the other two we've been a part of and other ones I've been a part of. They're pretty damn savvy as it relates to finances and creating recruiting advantages, and they've gone over the top at trying to do that. Now, part of it, to probably some people's chagrin, is you got to rework things. I mean, it doesn't sound like our athletic department had been very organized as it relates to money and ticket prices and who's paying this and that. And part of some of the restructuring that's going on, it's got a lot of different, you know, points to it. But this is one way that we're assuring that we're going to be able to take care of our guys as good as anybody. So that's a really wordy thing. But there's been several meetings, a lot of information put out there. And it's one more way that we can help take care of our guys. And, you know, Vanderbilt's done a great job of taking advantage of their resources, and quite frankly, they created that setup a little bit. But all these things like name, image, and likeness in this educational money or whatever they want to label it are ways that we can close the gap for our guys. So, you know, one of our best pitchers is on 30%. Imagine how much more his family has to pay without any of this stuff. But if we add a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and the baseball money, you know, now it's less taxing on the family for the kid to come pitch for us.
Yeah, great. Sounds like a great deal there. I'm sure more news will be coming out on that in the future. Coach, we know you got to run, man. Thanks so much for jumping on with us this afternoon. Enjoy the Sunshine State down there. And are you any chance you're going to try and make your way into the Swamp Saturday?
No. I'll move into another rival state to watch some junior college action tomorrow. So I'll be watching on the phone wherever I'm at. But actually, we've got a kid that is going to be pretty special, and he's pitching on our field Saturday. So I'll actually be at Lindsey Nelson Stadium and be able to watch that game probably on a TV, as well as watch this big old boy pitch on our mound.
Man, Tony V on his ABCs, always be crootin'. You're always crootin', Coach.
Well, it's, you know, it's a lot easier to just stand there in the dugout like I do when you got a Ferguson and a Spence running around in the middle infield. So as much as I want to earn my salary, it's nice when you don't have to coach them up too much.
Got to find those replacements. All right, man. We appreciate it as always. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Enjoy the road and get back to Knoxville safely.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. Tony Vitello on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
That's electric.
A lot came out of that conversation, man.
Yeah, he drove around his mom's minivan.
Minivan kids.
Struggle is real.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That, I'll tell you what, man, that back seat of that station wagon, looking out the back in the summer, no AC. No AC was getting from the front of that station wagon to the back.
No. I mean,
you're sweating it out back there.
No. And I everything kind of came together, stuff I've read about Coach and read about, you know, that there was a really nice article about him and his dad. And, you know, he's got, if I'm not mistaken, he's got older sisters. I had an older sister.
You had that too, right?
Okay. Yeah. They dominate you psychologically until you're well into high school. And they usually, it's when they leave the house when you can kind of
come into your own.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember being forced to sit all the way in the way, way back. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
brutal.
It was tough back there. All right, quick timeout. The drive continues. Back with more after this. Back here on the drive, it's Fan Run Radio.
Tony V.
He always livens things up, man. How about the quote, "I'm no angel in recruiting either," but
that's gold.
It's usually when I'm driving home, I'll be thinking about something he said, like, man. I'm no angel in recruiting.
He's not afraid to butt heads with people. It sounds like Missouri's kind of butthurt about us stealing their pitcher.
Who was it he said, coach your team, the original coach? Who was
the
he
guy
mad at?
Fresno.
Coach your team, meat stick.
Who did LSU hire?
I thought it was Arizona's coach, was that right?
Yeah, that's right. Jay Johnson.
Yeah.
Was the guy's name. Okay.
I want to go back and watch it. I wanted to ask him about, did you see the interview with the Alabama coach about the scholarships? And he was very, very candid. And basically, it didn't make Vanderbilt look very good. And some of the
Are you talking about the Matt Wyatt documentary, the guy we had on from Mississippi State who made that documentary?
It may have been. The one that I saw was like a 2-minute clip on Twitter. And it's Alabama because it's whoever's interviewing him was wearing an Alabama shirt. It's the Alabama head baseball coach.
Oh.
And he addresses it.
Okay.
And just about how unfair what an unfair advantage it is at schools that do give out 100%.
Everybody in the SEC should give out 100% in baseball. And I hope I know that there's all sorts of, you know, Title IX considerations and all that to get to, but the sport has become.
Give the softball team 100%.
Well, they do.
Softball gets 100%?
Yeah, I think that's the way it is because the number. Like all those women's sports,
football's what skews 100%, right?
Yeah, because they have to match football, and so yeah, I think pretty much.
Start a damn women's gymnastics team. Half the SEC's got them.
Yeah, I hope they figure out a way to just put everybody on full scholarship, start a gymnastic team, like Bear said, whatever.
I'm all about the Olympic sports. You know that.
Yeah, because you want a level playing field. It's not really, you know, Vanderbilt has their advantage. It's whatever. But to me, college baseball and the SEC has gotten to the point where it is worthy of scholarships. And you hear about kids on Tennessee's team that went to the College World Series. We're watching all these guys on national television this year. People are clamoring to get into the gates to see this these teams play. And a lot of these dudes are paying tens of thousands of dollars a year in tuition. They're going into debt to play for this team, debt that will take them years to climb out of.
And it's ridiculous what he says. He said he'll have a, you know, big boy pitcher on the mound, and he's only getting 30%.
Yeah.
It's just
– which I think that's pretty good for that sport. I think there are a lot of guys making like 15, 20% scholarships.
I mean, it's so ridiculous, especially now that we have a program where, you know, we're in the World Series. Yeah. A lot of TV eyeballs on this team.
There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Thursday night football tonight. You've got Panthers-Texans. FanDuel Sportsbook wants to help you get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night football is a great opportunity to give it a try. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you up to $10 back. So let's take a look, boys. If we were constructing a three-leg parlay tonight. Jake, you help me out here. What do you like? You like Panthers minus 7.5? Do you like Panthers on the money line, over under 43.5?
Take the spread.
Where's the game at?
It's at Houston.
I would take Panthers money line. Christian McCaffrey scores one touchdown.
Let's see if they've got that. I don't know. You got McCaffrey rushing yards. You got McCaffrey receiving yards. Darnold passing yards. You got first drive result. How about that? Punt, offensive touchdown. You don't even have to choose a team. What do you think is going to happen the first drive? Punt, offensive touchdown, field goal attempt, or any other?
I'll go any other.
Okay. Plus 650 on that. I told you earlier, I'm going McCaffrey rushing yards over under, I think it was, 84.5. I'll take him to hit that.
I think
tonight.
I've got a free bet on here. I'm just going to make a crazy 15 leg on same game.
Well, there you go. You can do that too. Whatever you want to do, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use our promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. You'll also be able to take advantage of 30-1 odds if you're new to FanDuel on Monday Night Football between the Cowboys and Eagles. Just sign up with our promo code again, DRIVE1, so they know we sent you. If your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. FanDuel must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, Tony Vitello. Looking at the guy right across the field. That's got to feel good knowing that, yeah, they tried to hire me before they hired you. They wanted me more than you, and we're going to own you for as long as you're down there in Baton
Rouge. Yeah, I didn't want to make him uncomfortable, but we could have really.
Tell that meat stick the drive sends its regards.
Yeah.
Hey, why'd you walk over across the field, Tony? Hand him the phone. We got a couple things we'd like to tell him. All right, right now. Yeah, go hand him your phone.
Go ahead, Bear.
Hey, excuse me, Coach Johnson. Tony Vitello, nice to meet you. Would you like to talk to some guys in Knoxville? They have a couple of words for you. Hands in the phone. You just hear all this screaming coming out of the air. Oh!
First of all, GFY. Second of all.
Oh, man. Quick time out.
Are you going to cry like the last coach?
Yeah. You going to hold it together, act like a man out there?
Like Paul Maneri. Oh, God.
Their fans were mean to us.
Their fans were mean.
They were nasty. They were such nasty people.
Players were hot dogs.
Oh, they said such mean things. It hurt my feelings.
No class.
No class at all.
I hope we don't lose that attitude. That one, who's there? I can't remember his name off the top of my head, the outfielder.
Oh, with the crazy McCrazerson.
No, the kid that hit the grand slam.
Oh, on our team. Gilbert?
Is that it?
Drew Gilbert?
Drew Gilbert, yeah.
Hit the walk-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, something tells me I don't think our guys are going to be softening up anytime soon.
No.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up the drive, Fan Run Radio. Beautiful Thursday afternoon / evening. The Overtime Boys here. Be taking you through the 8 o'clock hour tonight on Fan Run.
Will Stevens looking good. Got a haircut.
Bunch of handsome looking guys around here, I must say.
Do we have a contender for Lucas Widespread Panzeca's title now?
As far as guy who ate anything?
Yeah, I mean, your boy ate an 18-hour-old wing.
Yeah, Jake Miller, not very cautious when it comes to...
buy a bottle of Pepto on the way home. We need you tomorrow, bro.
Yeah. Me calling in for the show from live from the Porcelain Throne tomorrow.
No, we're all good.
All right, wrapping up here. Tomorrow we're live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Can't wait. Would love to see you out there. We'll be there from noon until 6 p.m. That's right, 6 hours. Talk Sports and The Drive, both live from the Axe House in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall tomorrow, right here on Fan Run Radio. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Are you going to be taking on Talk Sports?
I'm sure there will be some sort of physical challenge involved.
I expect you to win.
I expect myself to win. That's just what winners do.
And if you have to, if they allow you to pick up a member of their team, since you're going to be by yourself.
I can't remember who it was. Was it Draven was really good, I think.
I would have said Cam Black.
What is going on? Why do I sound like Max Headroom all of a sudden? Do you hear that?
Yes.
It's very strange.
Nothing's different over here, bud.
Let's get Roger in here next. Roger, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio.
Well, hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Raj, doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, doing fine. I just wanted to ask you a question, too, but that's why I asked you if you can let me know just here. I have heard much about it. I know Hooker came from from Virginia Tech. He came from there to here. That's why I asked you about that. How did he do? I'm just curious. How did you know how he done before he left? Virginia Tech to come here. You know how he done there? He done there.
I mean, he was really solid, Raj. He lost the starting job, but I mean, he didn't have a bad year. He beat Pitt.
He was okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did he? I know he done good, but how did he? I mean, how did he do? Did he win any games there?
I don't know what the win-loss record was. Last year, he completed 98 of 150 passes, 65.3% completion attempt. He's completing 70% of his passes this year. He's just not a lot going on down the field.
My biggest complaint with him is just if he hadn't had those turnovers.
Just hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
If we're going to play him, look, we might have some three and outs. We might have some bad-looking drives. He's got to hold on to the ball, man.
Absolutely.
Got to get punts. Raj, we're out of time. Thanks for the phone call. Got to run. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge right here on radio.